Hey, good Erev Shabbos, everybody. It's Erev Shabbos Chol HaMoed, and we're going to talk today about some sukkim that deal with the preamble to the Kriyas Yam Suf and what they say about human choice and free will and what the Torah understands about that and the implications for people who are in recovery. The title of the shiur is Existential Choice in Jewish Thought. Now, there's a whole philosophy, actually a group of philosophers that talk about existentialism, and some of the ideas are not particularly Jewish, but the one idea of existentialism that is important to focus on, and I think is compatible with Jewish thought, is the idea that a person is responsible for his actions, and that through mindfulness and through conscious choice, the person exerts an enormous amount of influence on his life. That doesn't mean that God isn't involved, and we'll talk about that as we go further in the shiur. However, the fact that God is involved in our choices and involved in our life doesn't take away from us the remarkable responsibility and effect of our own mindful free choices. And that's the theme we're going to explore today from the psukim that lead up to Kriyas Yam Suf. So let's take a look. In Shmos Perek Yudalad Pasuk Yud, it says the following description. It says, Ufaro hikriv, and Paro drew near. By Yusuf and Eshoz Enehem, the Jews lifted their eyes. They saw a terrifying thing. And behold, Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, was chasing after them. By Yirum Ood, and they were very afraid. By Yitzakru B'nei Yisrael El Hashem, and the Jewish people called out to Hashem. Now, there is a linguistic oddity here in the Pasuk. Instead of saying Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, or Chayel Mitzrayim, the army of the Egyptians, it says, Hine Mitzrayim, behold Mitzrayim. Now, not a complete linguistic oddity, because there are times where an entire nation could be referred to in singular, and it means, you know, the essence of Mitzrayim were chasing after the Jews. However, Rashi brings another pshat, Davar Acher, Rashi says another pshat, Hine Mitzrayim knows Afarehem, Nosea Afarehem. Behold, Egypt was chasing after them. Why is it said in this singular fashion, Mitzrayim? Ra'u Sarshal Mitzrayim. The Jews saw the ministering angel of Mitzrayim, Nosea Min HaShemayim, traveling from heaven, La'azor LaMitzrayim, to help the Egyptians. So the Jews saw a very frightful thing, aside from the fact that the Egyptians were chasing after them, which would be problematic enough. The Medrash is adding this layer of meaning and problem that the Jews saw the angel that represents Mitzrayim, that's in charge of Mitzrayim, coming down from heaven to help the Egyptians. Now, this is obviously, then you certainly would understand why the Jews are very frightened, because it looked like it was, in some sense, the will of God that the Egyptians were to be helped in battle. And not only did it look that way, that seems to be what the Medrash is saying. And what in the world is the Medrash saying? That what are we supposed to make of this? Is this some kind of cosmic chess game that different pieces get put on the board, and Hashem gave the Mitzrayim some advantage by having their ministering angel enter into battle, or does a ministering angel operate independently from God and enters into the battle to protect his kind? I mean, what in the world is going on over here? So we have to try to understand. Many of these things are difficult to understand, and we could guess, though, we can make educated guesses, because the reason why we can make educated guesses is because whether or not we fully understand the spiritual concept of what a ministering angel is that represents the, you know, the country, the general gist, there's no way to get around the general gist of this idea that there is some force, some determinant that is coming from Shemayim to help out the Egyptians. And the Chazal have a message within this. The exact details of what it means is a lot harder to understand. Whenever you face a difficult medrash that you can't fully understand, one of the best things to do is to take a step back and forget about the details and try to get the general impression. Because one thing for sure, the general impression, if the more general it is, the more likely in some sense that it's capturing part of the meaning. And there's kind of no way to avoid that in one sense or another, metaphorical or otherwise, Chazal are expressing that there is some will coming from heaven to be helpful to the Egyptians, however you want to interpret what this Sashal Mitzrayim. We have to try to understand, what does that mean, right? What is this will that's coming from Shemayim, that's a Sashal Mitzrayim, that's helping out the Egyptians? What does this mean? So what other analogs do we have in the Torah that help us understand this? So there's a Gemara in Malkus, on Yudamud Beis, that says an interesting statement. The Gemara says, the derech sha'odem rotze leilech molichen oso, that there's a principle, a Torah principle, that in the way that a person wants to go, that is how they are led. Somehow or another, and again, I'm sure this is very deep and it's not possible to fully understand this, but again, in a general sense, the Gemara seems to be saying that when a person wants to go in a certain direction, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stop the person and lets the person go in that direction he wants to go. Now let's understand how deep that concept runs within the Torah. So I'll share with you, you can look this up, there's a Tosus in Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. The subject of this Tosus is to try to understand what gave Aaron and Miriam a right to have a complaint against Moshe. Now, you know, Aaron and Miriam were upset with Moshe in the end of Parshas Baalos, I believe. We find the conversation being recorded between Aaron and Miriam, and they had a taina on Moshe, how dare he separate from his wife, Zipporah. Whether he separated or he divorced is not completely clear, but he separated from her, and how dare he separate from his wife and cause this kind of anguish or hold himself to be holier than thou, when Aaron and Miriam were also Nevi'im, and it was not incumbent upon them to separate. And we know that later on, you know, Hashem's reaction to Aaron and Miriam is, Madua lo yireis l'adabra b'avdi Moshe, why are you not afraid to speak about my servant Moshe? He's different. Tal adabra bo, damar v'lo b'chidos, you know, I speak to him mouth to mouth, etc., that I'm very close to him, and different rules apply. But nevertheless, Tosus is troubled. How could Aaron and Miriam even have a thought to have a taina on Moshe? Now, Tosus goes through Moshe's rationale, which is recorded. Moshe made a kal v'chomer because when the Bnei Yisrael were experiencing Gilui Shechina at Har Sinai, when the Jewish people were experiencing the receiving of the Torah and they were in Hashem's presence, they were not allowed to be with their wives. It says, Al tikshu al isha. So therefore, Moshe, where Hashem appeared to all the time, he felt that he was justified in also being separate from his wife. And actually, this is one of the times where Moshe made his own judgment, and Hashem agreed with him, because there's a pasuk where it says, after Kabbalah Satorah, the end of the pasuk is, Va'ata po amori madi. Hashem says to Moshe, you stay with me. And Moshe understands that as an indication And Hashem is saying, you're right, you have to stay with me. Everybody else can go back to their wives and to their regular life as a citizen, but you are still in the same state as everybody was at Kabbalah Satorah, and you cannot sustain being in a relationship with your wife any longer. And that's his justification. Hashem agrees with him. So then Tosafot says, if Hashem agreed with Moshe, and this pasuk clearly, you know, predates their lashon hara about him and their taanis on him, why did Aaron and Miriam then have a complaint? And this is where Tosafot says the most remarkable thing. Tosafot says, "V'yesh lomar mishum da'amrinan be'derach she'odam rotzei leilech molichen oso." Incredible. Tosafot's answer is that Aaron and Miriam's taina against Moshe was, we don't care that Hashem agreed with what you did, because he agreed with what you did because that's what you wanted to do. That's just one of the most remarkable ideas that you'll see, that you'll ever see in the Tosafot. That is absolutely remarkable. What's going on is that Moshe, that the Tosafot was explaining that Aaron and Miriam's justification and moral outrage against Moshe for separating from his wife was, in their minds, although later on it was not justified, but in their minds it was justified, despite the fact that Hashem himself told Moshe that he agreed with his line of thinking, because their taina was, yes, Hashem agrees with you, because the Derech Shalom wrote to Leilech Molichan Asel, because that's was your inclination, that you felt in order for you to be pure, you felt that you needed to separate from your wife. Had you had a different thought, Hashem might have agreed with that thought too. Now, if that isn't remarkable, I don't know what is. So what you see over here is that the Baalei Tosafot felt that the idea of a person's own mindful choice can exert such powerful influence that even if it's not necessarily proper, Hashem in some way might support that reasoning. And this I submit is part of what is in the representation of the Sar Shel Mitzrayim. The Egyptians had a right to their property. Their property were the Jews. The Jews were slaves. Whether we like it or not, there is a Torah concept that conquered people can become slaves. It happens all the time in Tanakh. We don't do this anymore, but this is in the Torah that a conquered country becomes the property of the conquerors. And the Egyptians were entitled to their possession, and they were chasing after their possession. And in that sense, they had some kind of mandate. And that's the representation of the Sar Shel Mitzrayim. That was their mandate to possess or repossess their slaves. So that's going on the side of the Egyptians. Now, that was obviously very frightening for the Jews to realize that. And certainly it ultimately wasn't the decisor in the battle. But that was the part from the Egyptians, and Chazal seemed to be making this point, that the power of choice, of mindful choice, even can induce some kind of help or at least agreement from Shemayim. Now let's go on and look at another set of sukkim that talk about also the power of human mindful choice. So in Pasuk Tezvav, when the Jews are basically facing the Egyptians on one side and the Yam Suf on the other side, and Moshe is davening to Hashem, Hashem answers Moshe, "Vayomra Hashem al Moshe, matitzak elai, dabro b'nei Yisrael diso. What are you crying out to me for? Speak to the Jews and go into the Yam Suf." So what does Rashi say? "Dabro b'nei Yisrael diso, Elohem el alisa." All you have to do is go. Shein hayam oved lifneihem, because the the ocean, whatever, the sea, doesn't stand in front of them. It's not a barrier. Their father's merit, Behem, and their merit, what's their merit? The faith that they had in me that I left Mitzrayim. That's enough to cause the Red Sea to split. What in the world are they doing? Are you doing davening? Nothing should hold them back. You should just go into the Red Sea and a miracle will happen. And Moshe, you should have realized that. That's kind of the gist that you get from Rashi and how Rashi explains why Hashem says to Moshe, what are you crying out to me? Now, the Orach Chaim develops this theme much more deeply. And I think that he amplifies what Rashi says, but not without first raising some questions. And these questions are very critical. The Orach Chaim says, Kasha, v'lamol mi yitzak. Who else should they cry out to in lo Hashem elokav? Why would they not be davening to Hashem? What's Hashem's complaint? What are you davening to me? U'befat be'ez tzara. And certainly, it's a known Jewish concept that when you're in distress, you're supposed to daven. And not only that, then let's actually hear really this follow. And maybe you'll complain, why are they davening so much when it's a time of distress? What do you mean? Haloko ol shalo ne'una b'tzar lo yoref mitzila. What in the world is going on here, the Orach Chaim says? Yeah, as long as Hashem doesn't answer the prayer and you're still in a state of distress, you daven even more. So what is the problem, and what's the expectation? Is it really reasonable to expect that they should walk right into the Red Sea? Obviously, there's a problem, and they're in a state of subjective distress, and they should pray until they get relief. So Orach Chaim amplifies this question to a great degree. And this is now how he answers, and this is very important. He says, Davar Yaduahu is a known thing. It's a known thing, Kikoach HaRachamim Humaasim Tovim, that the force of mercy, right? There's Midas Hadin, there's justice that comes from Hashem, and then there's mercy. But the Koach HaRachamim, the force of mercy, Humaasim Tovim Asher Yasa Adam Lamata, they come from the good deeds that a person does down in this world. I'm glad it's known to the Orach Chaim, because this is all going to be news to us, I'm pretty sure. Wait until you see what he says. He says it's a known thing that the Midas HaRachamim, that the mercy from Hashem, comes from the good things that a person does in this world. Yosifu Koach Midas HaRachamim, that the more a person does good in this world, it causes more Midas HaRachamim, the Lahafach, and the opposite, the Masim Ro'im. With bad ma'asim, it would limit the strength of rachamim. And now, he goes on to say a most remarkable thing. He says, and listen really carefully, he says, "Ein emes, even though it's true, ki chafet Hashem letzadik Yisrael, even though Hashem wanted to justify, to vindicate the Jews, he wanted them to emerge righteous at this moment of judgment where their life was in the balance, but there was no power from his merciful side, from his Midas HaRachamim, there was not enough power because of the lack of good deeds of the Jews. And Ashok Al Canaan, because of that, Amal Moshe Chuvanitzachas, he said to Moshe, an irrefutable claim. Matitzakelai, why are you crying out to me? Tirish, what does this mean? Ki ein hadavar tali biyadi. Hashem is saying this. Hashem is saying, it is not in my hands. Hashem is saying that the salvation of the Jews, Ein hadavar tali biyadi. It is not in my hands. Hagam shani chofit lasos neis. Even though I want to do a miracle. Can you believe this? Can you believe what we're reading here? Hashem is saying, it is not in my hands. Even though I want to do a miracle, kivin shem einem ru'uyim midas Kibbutz Ein Ru'im, since they are not fit, Midas Adin Monas, the Midas Adin holds back the aspect of Hashem that stands for justice, holds back, Ein Kof, Rachman, Keneged Midas Adin Monas, and there's not enough strength in the Midas Rachamim, in the merciful attribute, to overcome the Midas Adin. And therefore, Hashem says to Moshe, the Jews have to do an act of tzidkus, and they have to show bitachon, and they have to head for the Yam Suf to counter their lack of bitachon and their complaints that they had earlier. But the point is, the most remarkable thing here is that Hashem says, and I'm going to read this again because it is absolutely remarkable. I've said that a few times in today's share because we are really seeing some remarkable thoughts here. Ein hadavar tala biyadi. Hashem says, it is not in my hands. Hagam shani chofetz asos neis. Even though I want to do the miracle, I cannot do it because the Jews are not sufficiently arousing the midas harachamim. So, this is an extremely powerful endorsement of the concept, again, that a human's mindful choice and mindful determination to make a difference, to head in a certain direction, has great impact on the future course of his life. And as much as Hashem wants to help a person, the person has to make these mindful choices in order to draw that help. And it works in both ways. It works for the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim had a right to chase after, to assert their sovereignty as a nation, to chase after their fleeing slaves, to the extent that even their own tsar, which is a representation of some will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they had a right because they asserted themselves in a not completely unjustified way. And that was that power, and the Jews were in the balance. They were in the balance that they might have lost, and they needed rachamim. They needed to be some special miracle, and it wasn't completely in Hashem's hands according to the Aruch Chaim. The Jews needed to draw down that rachamim by their own ma'asim tovim. Now, there is one thing that is advantageous here. It is not completely about choice. The Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Dalet makes an important statement. That's Kuf Dalet on Aleph. It says, "Boli tamei poskelo," someone who wants to contaminate himself, poskelo. They open up the door, meaning, again, that there is this respect for existential choice, and if a person wants to head in a certain direction, even if it's an impure direction, post them up. They open the door up. Hashem doesn't stop a person. He lets them go in that direction. Bali tiger, but if somebody wants to purify himself, mitshayim also, they help him. So there is one little notch of advantage, which is that although there is tremendous respect for human mindful choice, and that Hashem allows people to make their choices, when the choice is toward Nevera, Hashem doesn't stand in the way. But when the choice is toward purification, he helps. Right? So that's like you know, the giving one's will over to God. But even though one understands that he's powerless, one understands that the Yetzer Hara is constantly trying to overcome us, and that in some sense we're powerless against our compulsions and our crazy thoughts. However, the Aruch Chaim says, by doing ma'asim tovim, it empowers the midas harachamim. By doing good deeds, whatever they may be, it empowers the midas harachamim, and when a person makes a choice to move in the direction of tahara, when a person begins that process, not only does Hashem not stand in the way, but Hashem helps. At that point, you get the help. Dabro b'nei Yisrael v'yisrael. The Jews have to travel into the Red Sea. They have to head, even though the sea has not split yet, they have to head in the direction of the Red Sea as if it's going to split. And indeed, according to the Medrash, you know, not from Ben Aminadab, the water went all the way up to his nostrils until the Red Sea split. They have to go all the way and keep pushing. But once they do push, there is Midas HaRachamim, and there is help. And of course, the lesson to us is pretty obvious, that our fate is in our hands. That Hakol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Me'Yer Shemayim. That everything is really, we don't have control over, but we do have control over our Yer Shemayim. And that there is this ability to make these choices. And as we make these choices, we can be helped further along in what we want to do. And we'll have the help no matter what we do. If we make bad choices, there is also a force, like the Sar Shal Mitzrayim, there is a force that will also allow us to do that. However, when we make the good choices, we get more help. I'm going to shut off the mute and shut off the recording. Hold on, everybody.